So I want to begin reading a verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. Only the first part. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. So we are literally living in very end times, and we know the Lord is going to come back soon. And this evening, I have it in my heart to see the life of Jonathan, in whom we can learn many things. Of course, in the life of Jonathan, we see the positive things and also some negative things. And from this, we can also learn how we can finish our race. So when we see in the life of Jonathan, his beginning is really very remarkable. And I also wish all of us that we may also end our race, our Christian race, remarkable. So let's read from a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 to 5. 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 to 5. And it came to pass when he had ended speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was kin with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his dress, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went forth with their soul. Ever Saul sent him to prosper, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So here we see Jonathan first seeing David, and when we read here about Jonathan, the first thing is we see that he loved David. So this is one positive aspect. And in our case, we did not. We can say first, David is a picture of Christ, and I think it's nothing wrong to say Jonathan is a picture of a believer. And in our case, we did not love God first, but God loved us and he gave his son for us. And in the second verse we see, and Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant. So we see after he loved David, he made a covenant with David. So we see the David, after he defeated Goliath, and this Jonathan, he see him and he started loving him. Because we also see that David took the place of Jonathan. He fought for Jonathan in one sense. And we also see that our David, Lord Jesus, he defeated the enemy, and he is victorious over death, and he is victorious over this world. And this is one good aspect that we see, that he loved him, and also he made a covenant. And Yes, the Lord also, he made a new covenant with his people. On the basis of his blood, we are forgiven and we are accepted into his presence and we are able to reach him as his children. That is also a great privilege that we have, and this privilege we had through this new covenant. So we can see that here the Jonathan, he made covenant with David. And then after this verse, if we continue, verse 4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his dress, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. So this is also another aspect that his robe and his dress, it speaks about his royal dignity, and also the sword, it's the instrument of the victory, and the bow and the girdle, it speaks of the strength. It's really speaking of someone really giving everything to David. Also, it speaks about the real discipleship, that he is saying, he's putting himself, I'm nothing before David. And it's also speaking about the real discipleship, that he really wanted to follow David. So first thing we see, Jonathan loved David. And the second thing we see, he made a covenant with him. And third thing we see here is really following David wherever he goes. And excuse me. And fourth thing I would like to show in chapter 19, verse 1. And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should slay David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill thee. And now I pray thee, take heed to thyself in the morning and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. So here we see contrast between Jonathan and Saul. In chapter 18, verse 2, we see Saul, he took David into his house, but not into his heart. And we can clearly see that it could also represent the nominal Christian way of living. And also it represents the behavior of Israel. They did not accept him into their hearts, but they accept into their country. And we see Saul's intention later on to kill David, the same way the Israel, of course, they succeeded to kill the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And from the life of Saul, we see, without any reason, he has this evil intention to kill David. But Jonathan, contrast to this, he's sharing everything with David, and even his deep secrets with David. So I say the Lord sometimes is willing to, and not sometimes, the Lord always willing to listen the deep things in our hearts, whether it is a big things or a small things, is always willing to listen to us. So far we see the positive aspects in the life of Jonathan. He loved David, he made a covenant with David, and of course he started following David wherever he is going, and he also sharing everything from his heart with David. And when we see these positive aspects, and then when it comes to his life, there is a test which where he has to decide whether he has to stay with David or with his father. We can read in the same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. And an evil spirit from Jehovah was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his spear in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David on the wall with the spear, but slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Here we clearly see that Saul wanted to kill David, and Jonathan also clearly understand his own father wanted to kill his own best friend, and which he loved him. And sometimes as believers, we also be in a situation we should decide whether we should really follow the Lord or we should stay or leave him because of our situations or because of the trials. And I believe Jonathan is in this situation where he also lost his spiritual discernment, even though he sees this evil intention of his father, he decided to stay with his father rather than following David. If we continue to read in chapter 20, verse first three verses, and David fled from Naioth by Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father? And he seeketh my life." And he said to him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do no thing either great or small and not apprise me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David swore again and again and said, "Thy father certainly knows that I have found favor in thy sight, and he has thought, Jonathan shall not know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." So from these verses, we see the conversation between David and Jonathan. And here, Jonathan clearly knows his father's intention. And he also clearly see that he has to take a choice, a decision, whether he should follow David or he should stay with Saul. And as a believers, we also exhorted to separate ourselves from leaven, from the evil doctrine, and also the evil association. And if we continue to be with the evil association, we will lose our spiritual discernment, as Jonathan lost his spiritual discernment. And this is first negative side. We can see that he lost his spiritual discernment, and then it leads to make him a covenant again with David, that we can read in the same chapter, verse 14. Chapter 20, 1 Samuel, chapter 20, verse 14. "And thou shalt not only while yet I lived show me the kindness of the Jehovah, that I die not, but thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when Jehovah cuts off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth." And here, Jonathan is making a covenant again with David. And I see this covenant which is a very strange covenant. Because he's asking basically, do not harm my family and do not threaten my life. And if you understand, if we really know David, once he has the opportunity to get Saul and even cutting the cloth of the Saul, he was really repented and touched in his heart. So we see here that Jonathan really did not understand David. And from this, I wanted to also show the contrast of the Jonathan, whose beginning was not good, but his finish was good. And what are the aspects in this person help him to finish his race well? I wanted to turn to show you a person from Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 from verse 3. But as he was journeying, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven, and falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do thou persecute me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Here we see the life of Saul, who met Christ on the way of Damascus. And we see his beginning was not good. We see him as a persecutor of Christ, a persecutor of believers, and he wanted to continue in this way. And then on the way of Damascus, Christ himself, he showed to Saul, and then he became Paul. And when he first met Christ, he knew the Lord as a light. We see this from the scriptures, and he asked very interesting question, Who are you, Lord? And we also see this question follows throughout his life. And we also know that he made a progress in this question. And we can see this progress also from the same book. If we turn to Acts 22, again the Paul, he's sharing his testimony of conversion. And here we see chapter 22, verse 6. And it came to pass, as I was journeying and drawing near to Damascus, that about midday there suddenly shone out of heaven a great light round about me. In chapter 9 we read, he saw a light. And chapter 20 we read, he saw a great light. So we see the difference in the knowledge of this light. And we clearly see that he made a progress on the way of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we continue reading in chapter 26, verse 13, at midday on the way, I saw, O King, a light above the brightness of the sun shining from heaven round about me. Here we see brightness of above the brightness of sun. So we also see the progress he made from light to great light, and also from great light to above the brightness of the sun. So Paul, all his life, he was asking this question, Who are you, Lord? And we also read one verse from Philippians, if I'm right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. But surely I count also all things to be lost on account of excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all and count them to be filleth that I may gain Christ. So we read here, he count all things lost on the account of excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And I really pray that the Lord may help us to make progress in the knowledge of Christ, that we may grow in the knowledge of Christ. And from this example, we can understand, if we really want to finish our race well, there is no other way than knowing about our Savior and Lord Jesus. And also the second question which follows throughout his life is, what do you want me to do, Lord? This question we also can read in chapter 22. He asked this question. Of course, we see that he always wanted to do the will of the Lord. And these two questions help him to finish his race well on this earth. And when it comes to Jonathan, we clearly see the second covenant he wanted to make with David because he did not understand David very well. He did not know him well. So the Lord may help us to know him day by day well. And I wanted to continue further reading a verse of Jonathan from chapter 20, verse 25. Let's read from 24 and 25. And David hid himself in the field, and it was the new moon, and the king sat at the table to eat, and the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on the seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. From this verse, we can understand Saul was staying at the place where the presence of David is absent. He was spending time where the presence of David is absent. And we have a wonderful promise from the New Testament, where two or three gather unto my name, my presence will be there. It is really a privilege, an honor to gather unto the name of Christ, so we experience his presence. And my question is, yes, we do also have this presence during the prayer meeting, because we have this promise not only on Sundays, but we also have this promise on prayer meetings. And how many times we do really give our priorities to the prayer meeting compared to the Lord's Day breaking of bread. I must confess from my life, there was a time that the Lord really teach me a lesson, and I wanted to share an example which happened in my life that helps me really to take a decision for the Lord to not skip the prayer meeting. So there was a situation that which I have to decide. Either I have to go to the prayer meeting or going to the big wedding. Usually Indian weddings are really very big. The one which I wanted to attend, almost 30,000 people were invited. It's the wedding of the mayor of the town. So many people were there, and I heard the celebrities are coming, and so it's a very big marriage, and I wanted to go to this marriage. The only problem which I have is, it is on the same evening, there is a prayer meeting in the local assembly. So I thought myself, okay, I can just one time, I can go to this wedding, because I may have this opportunity only once in a life. So then I took the decision to go to this wedding, and I see all these wedding celebrations and the celebrities and so on. And when I come back, while I was parking the bike at my home, it happened to me that I met a brother who came from the prayer meeting. And then he asked me, and I know many of you might know him, his name is David Bhubender. So it happened to me that I met him while I was parking the bike. And he asked me a question, "Where were you this evening?" So I said, "Yeah, I was in the marriage, and I explained why I wanted to go." And he was quite a moment, but he just asked one question, which really struck my heart. He asked, "Did you feel the presence of the Lord in the wedding?" And also he added, "Tonight we really experience the presence of the Lord in the meeting." So that question really helps me to understand the importance of the Lord's presence, where the places where we go. So sometimes the young people might have questions, why cannot we go to the parties, or why cannot we go to the a place, something like a bar or pub. So we can examine whether the Lord's presence is there. Are we going to the places where there is the Lord's presence? So here we see Jonathan, he was sitting at the place where the presence of the David is not there. And this is the third negative aspect we see. First, he lost his spiritual discernment, and then he really doubted David, and he has a lack of knowledge about David. And the third thing, he was staying at the place where the presence of the David is not there. And I wanted to show the fourth negative aspect in his life, which make his life not finish his race well. Let's read a verse from chapter 20, verse 4. 20 verse 32. Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Then Saul cast the spear at him to smite him, and Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to put David to death. At this point, Jonathan understood if he wants to follow David, he has to pay a price. It may cost his life. There is a verse from Luke chapter 14, 26 and 27. "If any man comes to me and shall not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sister, and his own life too, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Someone wants to follow Christ, he has to remember there is a price to pay. And this price may cost life, and the price may cost that we have to carry our cross and follow him. And sometimes it's really hard to deny ourselves. For our better understanding, I wanted to show an example of one man from 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the torrent dried up, and for there had been no rain in the land. And the word of Jehovah came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which by Gijon, and abide there. Behold, I have commanded a widow, woman there, to maintain thee. And he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the entrance of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she went to fetch it, and he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As Jehovah thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Fear not, go do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son. Here we see the prophet Elijah, and he has to flee to the place where the Lord wants him to go. And let's imagine, try to understand his situation. So let's imagine to keep ourselves into his situation. The Lord tells you to go to the foreign country, which is the wicked place. By the way, the Queen Jezebel came from this place, and the Lord telling him to go to this place, and he was told a widow is going to feed him. And the only thing he gets every day, a bread or a cake. And how hard it is. And just imagine, if the Lord tells you to do that, leave England and go to the place where you might not be comfortable, and where you get only a bread every day just for your living. How would you react? Here we see, so far he was living by brook. He can get the water, and the ravens can bring the meat so that he could survive. But the things get even harder. He has to leave that place and has to go to the foreign countries. Nevertheless, he showed obedience. And the greatest prophet has sent to one poor widow and to his son. It's really amazing to see his willingness to suffer, even it cost something for him. Yesterday, Timothy asked me, what is the favorite portion of a Bible? For me, what is a favorite Bible portion? And I was thinking, what could be my favorite one? And I was thinking about the portion of the Lord where he is going to the, on the way to Jericho, the two beggars, they cried out to him, Jesus, have mercy on us. And then he came to them, he asked a wonderful question, as a servant, what can I do for you? I felt it really amazing. Just imagine the great God who created heaven and earth, who created everything. He came to this world as a servant and meeting the need of the poorest who is begging on the wayside. He showed his compassion He showed his mercy and he met their need. And this is usually not going to please us, our flesh, but this is exactly what meant denying ourselves, denying our will, willing to suffer for the will of the Lord. So here Jonathan realized if he wants to follow David, he has to sacrifice the comfort life at his father's house. He has to leave every comfort zone, and he has to follow. If he followed David, he doesn't know the future, where he will be. And later on we see David lived in cave Adullah, and we know that living in a cave is not a comfortable life. So Jonathan, he really sees he has to make a choice. And another example we can see from Hebrews. I really love to read this verse, Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he had become great, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God than to have the temporary pleasures of sin. It's really interesting. The word choosing is used in the scriptures. So Moses, he chose to suffer. So we must understand as Christians, the way that's set before us is going to glory through suffering. That the same way the Lord went before us. He went through glory through suffering. So as Christians, we should not ignore when there are trials comes, suffering comes. The Lord intentionally sent it for our good so that we may be a blessing for others. So in this aspect, Jonathan, he really make a choice, even though he knew that David will be the next king. Even from his own words, he says this in chapter... Can anyone please help me? The portion where Jonathan mentioned that the David will be the king and he will be the next to him. Sorry. 20? Sorry, 20? 24 verse 20. Yes, thank you. 20 verse for 20. And now behold, I know that thou shalt certainly be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand. So here clearly the Jonathan knows David will be the king after his father, but nevertheless he has taken a choice, leaving David and staying in his comfort zone. And the last thing I wanted to mention about him, about his ending, in 1 Samuel 31, verse 2. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines smote Jonathan. We see here how Jonathan ending is. He was killed in the hands of enemies, Philistines. So So this is the last thing I want to show from his negative side. He has a good beginning. He started loving David. He made a covenant and really followed him. And he shared his heart with David. But because of his loss of spiritual discernment, because his doubt or lack of knowledge about David, and started spending time in the absence of David, the places where the absence of David, because he chose to live in the comfort zone, he ended up his life in the hands of Philistines. So this evening, my prayer is that the Lord is coming back soon. The Lord may help us. Not only our beginning is good, but our ending also may glorify Him and may be a blessing for others. Thank you.